You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Easter is here. Passover Friday. Easter Friday. This is what Christianity is all about. The price paid in full. Turn to the person next to you, say, the price is paid in full. You know, Christianity, all of Christianity is based upon this truth that Jesus died. And today I'm only going to talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ because resurrection only takes place 3 days from now. But there's significance in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus removed all legal grounds, all condemnation, every accusation pointing towards you, it removes it completely legally. Turn to the person next to you, say, no condemnation. You know, Colossians 2 verse 14, and I'm going to read from the Amplified because I want to amplify and elevate certain truths that you can see it. It says, having cancelled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note, bond, with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, was hostile towards us. What is that? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Anybody here, you were born not a sinner? You have to come immediately and let's pray for you. But all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says, this note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and declared completely out of our way by nailing it to his cross. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it the cross. Therefore, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink with regard to feast days or new moons or Sabbaths. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come, and they have only a symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Christ. Wow. Everything in the Old Testament, the Sabbaths, the feasts, the Passover, that Israel, a type of the church, kept, was pointing towards Jesus and what he would do. Every single thing. Amen? Sometimes we read in the Old Testament about the blood of the Lamb and when they brought the sacrifice and how iniquities and sins were removed and not accounted. And we believe that more than believing in what Jesus did under the new covenant. Can you imagine God, the creator of the universe, became man to die for us? Something just to meditate upon. So I want to talk a little bit about the Passover, because the Passover, Israel in bondage in Egypt, is a shadow and a type for us in bondage by sin and how God took them out. Are you ready for this journey? Turn to the person next to you and say, get ready to reset your faith. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus 12. Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that in your word there's truth and in your word there is light and life. Lord, as we share the word this morning, let the light of your word shine into our hearts, O Lord, and remove all doubt, all shadows, Father, of fear and anxiety, Father, condemnation once and for all because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice, O Lord. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Exodus 12, verse 6. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. So number one, the first thing that they had to do is they had to take some of the blood and place it on the doorpost. And the way that they placed it, the top and on the sides, that symbolizes the cross. The blood of the Lamb on the doorposts. Amen. And because that blood was there, the angel of death would pass by. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roast it in fire. Turn to the person next to you, say, roast it in fire. With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. And you shall eat none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Turn to the person next to you, say, instruction in righteousness. So you shall eat it in a haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now I want you just to think for 1 minute. All of Egypt, Israel is there in their houses, and at midnight suddenly you just start hearing firstborn of all animals falling down dead. Pa, 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 pa. Can you imagine the fear? Firstborns in homes dying. Shouts. No, no. The fear that could have gripped their hearts. They didn't need strong faith. All they had to do was obey. Put the blood on the doorpost. Prepare the lamb in a specific way. And be obedient to eat it. That was the requirement. The proof of our faith is not our strong faith, but our obedience in the Word of God. When we read Colossians, it says everything, the eating, the feasts, and everything is a shadow of what's coming, Jesus Christ. And he gave them specific instruction. He said, I don't want you to eat it raw, and I don't want you to boil it in water. But I want you to roast it in fire. The whole emphasis, the focus, if you go read that whole passage, 3 times he says, roast it in fire, roast it in fire, roast it in fire. From the head right to the feet, roast it in fire. What does that symbolize? That roasting, the fire, the sacrifice, symbolizes God's fire of judgment upon the Lamb. And not upon his people. I want you to think for 1 minute. If you've been a generation of slaves working hard, malnutrition, backaches, being hurt, feeble. The Bible says not one person that moved out of Egypt, not one of the Israelites were feeble. They were all healthy. They were all strong. All of them walked out. Nobody was carried out. Nobody on a stretcher. Everybody walked out. How's that possible? Where did that happen? That night at the Passover, when they ate that lamb, roasted from the head to the feet and everything inside, roasted, not raw, not the lamb as it should be normally, not looking at the lamb, not looking at Jesus as he walked on this earth, being a person doing good and helping, looking at him being polite, manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, healing people, help. Not looking at him as a normal man, but looking at the lamb roasted. Not boiled in water. I believe that means not watered down. Don't water it down. But focus upon this lamb being sacrificed. Roasted from the head to the feet and everything on the inside. Eat everything and what is left the next morning, roast it. Burn it in the fire. Can I say this? We are saved today not because Jesus lived a perfect life, but because he became a sacrifice. We are saved today, have new life in Christ Jesus, not because he lived a perfect life, but because he became a sacrifice. And it's required for us to look at the sacrifice. Romans 8 verse 3, the Amplified says, "For God has done what the law could not do." The law, if you could keep the law, you would be perfect. "For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own son in the guise of sinful flesh, and as an offering of sin, God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice." So what was required of them? To accept the sacrifice. Amen. Jesus became a sin offering for us. He who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So in the Old Testament, this lamb that they roasted, when they ate it, they were eating health and strength and life. And not one of them left Egypt feeble. Turn to the person next to you, say, "Passover." That was the shadow. That was the shadow. Do you think that that lamb at the end of the day were roasted in such a way, burned by the fire, that you could not recognize it? Oh, yes. So what about Jesus on the cross? The Bible said they could not recognize him. The movies that we watch, Jesus with his head tilted to the one side and blood running down. Even the Passion of the Christ, it's not even that. So when you eat that, something starts to change on the inside. Look here what God said to them. He said, "I want you to be ready. That when you eat this, have your sandals on, have your belt on, have your staff ready, be ready to move immediately." What is he saying? He's saying, "I'm telling you now that when you eat that, deliverance is coming immediately. Deliverance is coming immediately." Do you believe that? You know, I'm just thinking about the one time we had a deliverance when we were still in the school hall, and there was somebody manifesting, and the demon said, "I'm not going anywhere. I've been here for centuries." And when we told the person to have communion, this is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, how deliverance came to that person immediately. When they ate the body and they drank the blood, deliverance came immediately. Turn to the person next to you, say, "Deliverance immediately." Can I tell you something? This Passover, get ready to move from where you are to where God wants to take you. God liberated them immediately. When they ate the Passover, it was time for them to move. Amen. As I was preparing and thinking about this, he didn't just move them from where they were to where he wanted them. He said, "I want you to go and plunder the Egyptians. I want you to move out with riches because I'm going to restore in your life." And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. Remember Pharaoh's yoke over Israel. God said, "In one night, I'm going to break that yoke now." What does that symbolize? It's Satan's rule over our lives. The yoke that he's been placing upon you, bondage, difficulties, hardships, breaking that once and for all to get you out of slavery from where you are now to where God wants you to be. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, salvation now. For he says, "In an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Family, listen to me. Faith acts now. Faith believes now, and faith receives now. Passover broke the yoke of Pharaoh over the lives of Israel. God is about to do exactly the same. Amen? Are you ready? Are you ready to approach this Easter in a different way? You know, the enemy has wanted us to take our focus off the cross and what Jesus did. want us to focus on the hot cross buns and the Easter bunnies. And I mean, by all means, if you love the Easter bunnies and the hot cross buns, have them. Amen. Enjoy them. But keep your focus upon Jesus. Jesus is the Passover lamb. He broke the yoke of Satan's power over your life. Every legal claim that the enemy has had against you, he broke all of that. Let me just see, who of you know that you've done some stupid stuff? You know you're guilty. Job 22 verse 30 says, even the one who is not innocent. Can I see the hands not innocent? It says, even those who are not innocent, because of the cleanness of your hands, the cleanness of his hands, will be delivered. Because he knew no sin, but he became sin. The Bible says that if the devil knew with all his angels, his demons, if they knew what they were doing, they would never have nailed him to the cross. Never. But when they were doing that, in their wisdom, they think, we're killing God. We're putting all of mankind's sin on him, making him suffer, punishing him, bruising him, chastising him. But in all of that, he was liberating us. Can I say this? The devil can attack you, but he cannot attack the cross. Cannot attack the cross. What was done on the cross is settled. It's done. A matter of fact, the reason why God answers prayer is not because of our good works. It's not because you've been an usher or an hostess. God doesn't even answer my prayers because I'm a pastor or a bishop. He doesn't answer prayer because you're in a certain church. He answers our prayers because of what Jesus did on the cross. Give the Lord a hand. So can I tell you something? Communion. And we're going to have communion today. Communion reminds us of the Passover. Reminds us of Passover. This body and this blood. There's more meaning in this. Symbolizes more the shadow of what happened there with the Exodus out of Egypt. The first time they ever partook of the Passover lamb, it symbolized the breakthrough, deliverance, being disconnected from bondage and everything that the devil used to link himself to you. That's what it symbolizes. Where's my glasses? Amen. Luke 22 verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks. Oh, let me just go there quickly. Luke 22, are you there, verse 19? And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Oh, wow. Can you imagine the Lamb of God taking the bread, and he says, this year, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You knew what happened in Exodus when I moved God's people out. Everything that they saw, the Passover lamb, that was me. This body that was given for you. Turn to the person next to you, say, his body was given for you. The Passover lamb is telling us a story. From the head to the feet and everything on the inside was given for you. What happened? It was sacrificed. It was roasted by the judgment fire of God. So that every headache, can I have an amen? Amen. Who of you battle with headaches and migraines? Every headache, stomach pains, raise your hands. Ankle pains, and everything in between. He says, the body was given for you. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for your peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He's saying the body that's being broken, it's for you, to bring healing to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, his body was broken for you. Can I tell you something? In that house, with all the screams and all the shouting and all the fear going on, with the blood on the doorpost, a matter of fact, the way that they put that on is the letter Taf, which means complete transformation, which means protection. That's what the blood of Jesus does. But on the inside, when they were eating health. They were eating strength. Those that were feeble became strong so that they can go on the journey, so that God could take them from where they are to where he wants them to be. That was the Passover lamb in the Old Testament. Can you imagine now in the New Testament? Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus died for you. They roasted every part of that lamb so that any part could be eaten. And when you eat that, it's health and strength that you're eating. Can I have one amen? I'm going to show you now from Scripture all of that. Romans 8 verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So if he did not withhold Jesus, why will he withhold anything from us? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 11 verse 24. And I'm just going to repeat Luke 22, but here Paul is elaborating a little bit on the communion. And he said exactly the same thing. He says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You are proclaiming the sacrifice. You are proclaiming the roasting. You are proclaiming the judgment that was placed upon the lamb. Can I have an amen? Amen. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. What is an unworthy manner? When you eat it raw or you boil it. When your focus is just upon Jesus, who he was, and not upon the sacrifice, or you want to water this down, that's an unworthy way of eating it. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, it says, examine yourself to see whether you're in faith. It says, when you're eating this, the Israelites in the Old Testament, everything that they focused upon, everything that they saw was this lamb being roasted. That's what they would smell. That's what they would see. That's what they would eat. That was the blood that they placed upon the doorpost. That's what they focused upon. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. So if you're not eating this, applying it, so if they didn't put the blood on the doorposts, what would happen? The angel of death would enter into your house and your firstborn would die. If you didn't eat the body in the correct way, the Passover lamb in the right way, judgment would come upon you. Not discerning the Lord's body, what he has done. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you and many sleep. So I grew up. If you're offended or angry with somebody, don't have communion because then judgment will come upon you. Can I just see your hands if you grew up like that? Oh my word. So how are we ever going to get saved? How are we ever going to have communion again? Just Luke 17 says, offense comes to everybody. He says, every time you partake of this, you're proclaiming the Lord's death, that he's died for your sins, that he's removed your iniquities. All of this has been nailed to the cross. He says, don't look at friendly Jesus. Don't look at the Jesus that was born. Don't look at the Jesus that walked this earth. Look towards the sacrifice where the price was paid. When you're angry, when you're offended, when you are blowing a gasket, don't run away from Jesus, run to Jesus. We even keep our children from partaking from the communion. You have to be 18. So the first 18 years, the most important years of forming their foundation, we keep them away from health, from strength. Are we not discerning the Lord's body in an unworthy way by keeping it away from our children? Romans says that if while we were sinners, he reconciled himself to us. Romans 5, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If we were reconciled to God while enemies through death, why would you not want to partake of the communion? Tell me that. When I was his enemy, he married me. He entered in. Now when there's something wrong, I want to stay away from him. As Christ forgives me, Paul says, forgive others. How can I forgive like Christ if I'm running away from Christ? When you're angry, when you're disappointed, when you feel like a failure, when you feel like everything is falling apart. He was bruised, he was chastised, he was smitten, he was beaten up, a thorny bush pushed on his head. By his stripes you are healed. It's the time to run to Christ, not to run away from him. Because he's reconciled us, he's made us one. No faith required, just obedience. Be in your house, make sure there's blood on the doorposts. That blood means completion. When you run to the blood, it's not you that are perfect, it's his blood that's perfect that speaks for you. It's not your ability, it's his ability. It's not because of what you've done, but what he's done. Can you see? He says, because many have not discerned this in a correct way and eaten this in a correct way, they are sick, they are feeble, and they've died. But if they ate this in the right way, discerning the sacrifice, they would be healthy, they would be strong, and they would not have died. Can I have an amen? This is not to bring condemnation. This is to bring hope. I'm going to leave you with one more scripture. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. Have mercy on me as well. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. Listen to this. For even to this were you called. It is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example, so that you should follow in his footsteps. He was guilty of no sin. Neither was deceit or guile ever found on his lips. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revel or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance, but he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it. Thinking about the shadow, that lamb that was roasted from head to the feet and everything in between, that we might die, cease to exist, to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. So as we eat this, you are eating healing. You are eating health. You are eating strength. Paul said, do this as often as you want to. That back pain that you have, eat it. That headache that you have, eat it. That bondage that's keeping you back, eat this. Amen? I'm not saying you're never going to be sick. I'm not saying that. We still live in this world, amen? But when those things are there, we're not ignoring it. Now we can say, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And as you eat this, you become a partaker. You become part of that new covenant. I'm not even going to go eating bread. The body takes some time to digest and to go into your system. Liquids, the blood going in immediately working. I'm not even going there. But Passover has got so much meaning in it. Israel, before they went into the promised land, partook of the Passover. Amen? Passover takes you out of the wilderness into the promised land. Passover takes you away from living from miracle to miracle to miracle by living in faith. Amen? Not special grace the whole time, but having some reserve grace. Amen? When you go into that promised land. Colossians 2:15. I'm closing with what I started with. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were arranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. The cross today where Jesus died, so much more. His blood flowing for us. Praying in the garden. Yesterday when we were praying in the prayer garden, Grace Garden, I said to the people here, I said, when Jesus started praying in the garden, the first thing that happened, he started sweating blood. Started sweating blood. So anxious, so intense, so that we never have to be in that position to be so anxious to pray. But we have a way through the blood into the Holy of Holies. When they put the thorny bush on his head, or before that, they plucked his beard out. Blood started flowing. They humiliated him so that you never have to be humiliated in that way. They put the thorny bush on him to humiliate him with that. Curse of this earth absorbed it. Blood was flowing again from his head. When they gave him the lashes on his back, by his stripes we are healed. Blood flowing again. When he carried the cross and he fell, his knees open. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. He carried that heavy cross so that it can become easy for us. When they nailed him to the cross again, blood flowing again. He died for our sins. Amen. And then when they lifted him up and he was there and all his blood had left his body and they put that spear into his heart, blood and water came out to just show that his whole body was empty. There's no blood left. But to show us that the only way to the Father is through the circumcision of our hearts. And blood was flowing again, water was flowing again. His blood is speaking for you of redemption, of salvation, of breakthrough, of every beautiful thing that's in Christ Jesus, a better covenant with better promises where God deals with us according to his mercy and his grace. He's not angry with you. He's dealt with sin once and for all. But as soon as you take off your eyes from the cross, you start to feel condemned. But when you look at the cross where the price was paid, you'll realize that's been removed. No guilt, no condemnation. Seal up.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.